How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Hey, Bridget, thank you so much for joining us on the Organize 365 podcast.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited to dive into your story and everything that you're doing with Organize 365. But can you first start by telling me, how did you find Organize 365?
Well, it was almost exactly a year ago. It was late September, early October. I was just signing up left and right for webinars and all sorts of, you know, this will help you get organized and this will help you get organized. And so one of those webinars, you spoke for, it was like 45 minutes or an hour on the Sunday basket. And I wasn't able to actually watch any of those videos that I signed up for. I just kind of had them playing in the background. But with yours, I went back. And I took notes. I spent 2.5 hours taking notes on the Sunday basket. And wow. From there, I went into your podcasts and listened to all of them, starting with the Sunday basket, and then went to Organize 365 and bought the Sunday basket system like early November, and then went all in.
So did you start to hear me talking to you in your sleep? I mean, that's a lot of listening to Lisa.
That was a lot of listening to Lisa. It was so worth it, though. It was so worth it. And it was a great time of life for it because I don't normally do podcasts or audiobooks or anything like that. I'm not the kind of person who can process spoken word when there's nothing else going on. But I was starting to drive my kids to school because I had one kid going to kindergarten at the public school. And then an hour later, younger brother went to preschool. I couldn't drop him off for an hour. So I would just get them both in the car, drop off older brother, drive around for an hour. I mean, I learned a lot of these back roads around this house, Lisa. I know how to get anywhere now. And so do you, because you were sitting in the passenger seat beside me, by the way.
Yes.
And I just listened to everything. It took like 3 or 4 months. It was sometime in January when I was finally caught up.
Yeah, there are 300 podcasts now if you want to start at the beginning. It's going to take a while, but I remember doing the same exact thing when I was driving 25 hours a week. Like, it wasn't worth it to come home for 15 minutes because then my dog would want to go back out again. The kids would want to get out of the car. It's like, you know what? I'll just drive by the post office. I'll just, you know, like I did a lot more errands and a lot more driving just because once they were in the car, then at least they were in the car. And also that is when I found and fell in love with podcasts as well.
Yep. What is that landmark in the distance? I'm going to drive until I find that landmark and then pull up Google Maps to figure out how to get back home.
You know what it is? It is our version of running. You know how people go out and they run and they get clarity? I drive and I get clarity.
No doubt.
Okay, so you've got these two little kiddos. Who else lives in your house with you?
Okay, so I've got my husband. We've been married for 15 years. Like I said, my oldest is 6 years old. He's in first grade now. And my youngest is 4 years old. He's in pre-K. And they're still in different schools, but my oldest is riding the bus now. So that gives me back an hour and a half each day. It's wonderful.
A day. That's so much time.
A day, because I don't have to drop him off in the morning and drive for an hour. And then in the afternoon, I only have to go to preschool to pick up the younger one, get back home, wait at the end of the driveway for 5 minutes for the bus to come and drop off big brother. So that's the people in my house. Like I said, my husband and I have been married for 15 years. We met in college, and we started dating, I think, my junior year in college. We met when I was a freshman. So we were actually really good friends, and we got married in 2004. So we just celebrated our 15-year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. As for the rest of the people in the house, we don't have people, we have animals. Your daughter, Abby, needs to come visit me. We've got two cats who live on our back patio. We have two cats that live in our barn. We have somewhere between 25 and 30 chickens, and we have five goats, one of whom featured on a Sunday Basket Club and won me my Sunday Basket cocktail glass with the bottle of goat milk I had set up for her.
Now, this is the bottle of goat milk, if anybody's wondering.
That's me.
That was one of the first winners, because I was like,
very first.
Like a baby bottle of goat milk, definitely.
Well, she was still living in the house at the time. She'd been rejected by her mom, so I was having to feed her every 3 hours. And the Sunday Basket Club starts at 4 o'clock my time. She needed to eat at 5, so I just fixed up the bottle. And when it was time, I just called her on over. She hopped up on my lap, and all the people on the call are going, "Is that a goat?"
We have a lot of goat lovers in the Organized 365 community, more than I realized. Like, I don't know. I say that I grew up in the suburbs, but apparently not far enough in the country. So many people have goats. So many.
I know. It's shocking, really, even to me. We just moved out here 2 years ago. And in the last 2 years, it's like all my goat people are coming out of the woodwork, and I love it.
They're the nicest people. Goat people are awesome.
Well, because if you raise a bottle baby goat, you know true love.
Oh my. You have to get up every 3 hours in the middle of the night?
Yes.
For how long?
It only lasted like 6 weeks instead of the year that it can with a human baby. But yeah, for 6 weeks, I was getting up every 3 to 4 hours to feed her. So yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were listening to like all these different things about organizing. You decided to do the Sunday Basket. You're listening to the Organize 365 podcast. What made you decide to get organized in general? Like, obviously you had like this burning desire to figure out how to get organized. Where did that come from?
I had been trying, and honestly, I'm still trying. I'm still working on it. I had been trying to find a good system for years. I started with some free systems. You know, back when I first got married, I was trying this free system and that free system. I think it was early 2016 or late 2015, I purchased a system, and it sort of almost worked until we moved. And then we moved, and that system fell by the wayside. And so partially, I think a lot of it was I was actually suffering from postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. And so about that time, I had started counseling in August last year. And so about the time that all of these webinars and workshops were happening, I was finally starting to get out of the funk, to get out of the funk. So it's like everything just came together at the perfect storm. They happened when I was almost ready to, you know, stop playing on Facebook all day long and actually start doing something about it. And so then I started, you know, found your podcast. And I know I mentioned this at Embrace, but really listening to your podcast got me all the way out of that depression. And
wow.
As for when it happened, when I decided to get organized, I've been wanting to be organized for a long time. It's just, I kept looking for a good system that resonated with me and worked once I started implementing it. All the systems resonate.
Yeah. So what did you notice that was working with Organize 365? When was the first time you noticed something actually stayed organized that hadn't been organized before?
Sunday Basket, my incoming papers.
Okay, so let's just deep dive in that. No one's really gone really deep into the Sunday Basket. Everyone dives into the 100-day program. So how did you get it set up? How long did it take you to get it to work? How did you notice it changed your daily life? All the things.
So like I said, that was actually the first podcast that I listened to. You know, I mean, I sat down, I took notes for 2.5 hours, and I started listening to the podcast. And I had a couple of different paper organizing things that I had purchased. And I tried to set them up, but I knew they weren't going to work. They were just proof of concept, and they didn't work. So I got an Amazon box about the size of a small watermelon, like you said. It actually turns out that box was just slightly larger than the official Sunday Basket, for what it's worth. And I had some file folders and stuff like that. So I kept trying to implement this system, just listening to your podcast, but without actually purchasing anything mm-hmm. new, because I knew if I was going to purchase anything, I'm getting the system. I'm not going to go, you know, and halfway do this thing. I just want to make sure this proof of concept mm-hmm. is going to work. And it kind of sort of worked. The hardest part for me was remembering to do it weekly mm-hmm. and setting it up to do it weekly. And that for me is always the hardest thing, is the consistency of following through with a system. But so then I bought the Sunday basket. I think it was late October, early November. It might have even been my birthday gift, which is coming up beginning of November. So I think I told my husband, this is my birthday gift. And he said, okay, here's the credit card. So, so I got all that set up. I watched all the planner videos, the training videos, and it was an instant improvement. Because then, you know, I could put all the mail in there, all the junk mail, all the appointment cards from doctors, this, that, and the other thing. So then the only other thing I had to deal with on a daily basis was all the papers coming in from school. Because mm-hmm. you know how schools are. You know, they've got
The next day.
They need it back the next day. You know, you've got to sign their little attitude chart and say and you know, have a chat with them if they had a bad day or whatever. And, you know, put that back in the backpack. And then there's the fundraisers that they need addresses tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't have any addresses. Why do you want them? But, you know, so those were the only things I had to deal with on a daily basis. And 90% of the time, I did pretty darn good with all of that, thanks to the Sunday basket holding everything else for me. So when I finally went all in, I actually did it in stages now that I'm thinking about it. I purchased the 100-day program. And then at the Thanksgiving discount, I upgraded to all access. And that first Sunday, man, I was in the Sunday Basket Club. I was on the Zoom call and yes. I was going through everything and it was awesome. And so the Sunday Basket has really...
So that was pretty quick. You went from buying the Sunday Basket end of October to going all in just a few weeks later.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was working. Remember how I said all the systems resonate, but very few work? This mm-hmm. was working. And everything you were saying about, you know, you're a teacher, so you've systematized the entire program so that everybody can learn it. Okay. And all of the systems that I had been kind of following so far were, well, I'm not born organized, but this is what worked for me. And yes. you know, I could name names, but I'm not. And those are good systems for people that they work for, but they weren't working for me. So. Yeah. Your systematized approach to everything really spoke. And I saw it working with the Sunday basket, even when I only had the system but didn't have the accountability. Mm-hmm. And so...
It's like school. It's like you signed up for organizing school and you got all the classes and all the products that go with organizing school. Like you enrolled in this organizing school.
Exactly. Especially since I can really only work on it when the boys are in school. So it really is school.
It really is your school. You go to school, and mommy's going to school.
Yeah.
So what has started happening on this journey since you've started getting organized that you did not expect to happen?
Oh my. Well, we bought goats. that was at the end of February.
We bought not everyone who buys the Organize 365 system has to buy goats.
Yes, the goats actually don't take up very much space, but they will eat your rose bushes, so be aware of that. No, but seriously, we bought the two girls at the end of February, and we knew one of them was pregnant, and sure enough, the 4 days later, both of them had their babies. So, you know, there we go. One of them rejected the baby and I had to do 3-hour feedings. So, you know, everything would have blown up if I didn't have my Sunday basket in place. So that was an unexpected, we were planning on getting goats at some point, but that was unexpected to have done it right then.
Unexpected happy thing.
Yes. An unexpected happy thing. Speaking of unexpected happy things, you opened up the Sunday basket workshop classes and I knew I was going to get in. It was just a matter of when. And so the night before you officially announced it, I was actually on the website browsing, seeing what it was going to look like tonight so that the next morning when it opened up, I would know what was different. Well, you'd already opened everything up.
Oh, you're talking about the certification program. So
yes.
Inside secret. sometimes I make programs and things that are going to go on sale the next day live the day before, because it's just easier for us to test that way and make sure it's working. And occasionally at Organize 365, you can find an Easter egg. Really?
Yes, I did.
You're stalking.
Because you mentioned something about an embrace thing. And I'm like, I know what that is. I saw it on the website last night. But I chickened out. I didn't get the certification program that night. The next morning, you were doing your Friday morning weekly review, and Emily and Sandy were both in the chat, and Emily's like, congratulations to Sandy, our first Sunday Basket certified workshop. And I'm like, oh, no, no, no. I need in on this. So I got in. And then even more surprising than that, I signed up for all paper at the beginning of August. I was not expecting to have signed up that quickly, but here I am, ready to dive in again.
Now the student becomes the teacher, right, Bridget? Yes, so now you're going to become a teacher of other people. How exciting is that? So what do you have less of now, and what do you have more of now?
I'm having to look back over my answers for this one, because this was pretty deep when I typed it out. Stress, I have a lot less stress. You know, everybody who organizes should have less stress. I really think that's true. What I have more of now, this is going to sound weird. I have more breath. I have more, not just room to breathe in my house. I mean, I still haven't made it more than 19 days through the 100-day program. I'm going to be changing that this fall. but there's nothing in my mind. It's
right,
all Sunday Basket.
Right? That's what I've been saying. My mind is empty.
I mean, like, my husband came to me last night and he's like, when you get a chance, we need to purchase this huge assembly for our lawnmower. And I'm like, define when I have a chance. And he said, well, it doesn't have to be done this week. Good. Grabbed up an index card, wrote it down, tossed it in the box.
Yep.
Done.
Done.
I'm not going to work on it this week. I remember when I was walking through that depression, and I spent 4 years there, Lisa, 4 years. And I would often find myself short of breath, not just because I'm out of shape, but literally I just couldn't breathe. I would have to sit down and just put the world at arm's length away and just breathe. And I don't have to do that as often now. I had to do it this last weekend because everybody was around me for 4 days.
We're recording this after Labor Day weekend. I'm telling you, holiday weekends aren't all they're cracked up to be, are they?
They're tough. They're tough. My boys had Friday off. My husband did not. And it was the first weekend of college football. So I was even more on my own than I normally was to watch the boys. So Sunday, it's like, I need to step back from the entire family. I got in the van. I drove for an hour. There I go driving again instead of jogging. And but recognizing that I was in that headspace where I couldn't think, I couldn't breathe, and I needed to get away, and being able to articulate that to my husband and not being afraid to leave, because, you know, he's got lunch cooking.
Right.
Sunday Basket is later this afternoon. There's nothing else that I need to be doing right now. I can go away and breathe.
Interesting. I never thought about it, but I used to hold my breath a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, and you find yourself short of breath when you're stressed or anxious. Mm-hmm. Breath for me is one of the first things to go. I either start breathing heavily and fast, or I hold my breath, like you said.
And it's so much more easier to quantify and to say you have more time when you do the Sunday Basket and when you get organized. But I think the real benefit is not more time, because we have the same amount of time we had before, but we have more mental clarity because we aren't trying to remember everything, and we have more energy because we're actually breathing.
we have more awareness of what is on our plate, what could be on our plate, and what has no business being on our plate whatsoever. Just that awareness and the clarity is just so important.
What do you wish that you had known sooner?
You know, I've been thinking about this question for weeks. I really don't know, because, I mean, obviously, I wish I had found the Sunday Basket years ago, because when I signed up for that one system I told you about in 2016, that is kind of a preliminary introduction to a Sunday Basket. They tout the whole weekly review and having the inbox, and everything goes in the inbox, and the weekly review, you figure out what you're going to do. but it wasn't laid out as strongly and as systematically as the Sunday basket. So I wish I found the Sunday basket earlier. At the same time, I discovered I had a PDF of the Sunday basket book from one of those ultimate bundles. I never read it.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
I had your Mindset of Organization book and your ADHD book from one of those bundles. I never read them. I had your 10 Steps to Organizing memorabilia and photos.
Wow.
I never read it.
Wild, so, Bridget.
obviously, Lisa, I have had access to your information for years, but for whatever reason, it was in that webinar last year that something struck and I was ready to hear it.
It was the right time.
It was the right time.
And I'm getting better. Yes. If you go back, everything she just mentioned does not exist anymore.
No. Only if you purchased those bundles way back when.
Even if you read them, like, because you have it, if you go read the Sunday Basket ebook, like, mm-hmm. it's nowhere near as structured as what you get now, because I've been explaining this now for 7.5 years straight. I've gotten better at explaining it, and we provide videos, and we manufacture Slash Pockets. That book was written before I had any physical products, and I was trying to use what was on the market, and part of why it didn't work for everyone was because it didn't have the color-coded Slash Pockets that you needed for it to be more like a teacher classroom. No, grab a pink one, do this. And when you're learning something new, it is helpful to have a common language and common tools that you're using. So people who have been organized in the past or are good at creating organization can listen to the Sunday Basket podcast or this podcast and do the organization without buying the programs. I'm fine with that. But for many people, the reason why it's not working is because they weren't originally organized. They have no idea what a slash pocket is. They didn't play school every minute of their life growing up. And so they actually need to take the class, use the materials at work, and move on with their life. This is not their next profession, as it is for you now.
Yes. And like I said, that's why I'm kind of glad I didn't find the system sooner. Because if I had found it 2 years ago and decided it didn't work because I couldn't figure it out, I don't know that I would have bought the system. Right. As it was, I bought it in November, and it was, you know, late November, early December when I got to the podcast where you're describing how you manufactured this thing and how you came to Texas, where I live, Lisa.
Yeah.
If I had just found you 4 months sooner, I'd have gone to your convention. That's the only thing I really missed. That's the only thing I'm really upset about not knowing about you sooner, is I missed your convention here in Dallas. Other than that, everything else, I think I found you when I needed to. I couldn't have accepted the system earlier.
Mm-hmm. And how great is that, that you are giving yourself so much grace about that?
Yes.
Yes, you're talking so nicely to yourself.
That's a product of the counseling from coming out of the depression and listening to 360 some of your podcasts, because you got to take into account the Sunday Basket podcast and the Professional Organizer Think Tank podcast. I finally finished listening to those earlier just last week. So I have 300 plus podcasts under my belt, Lisa.
And so tell people about the Professional Organizer Think Tank podcast. Not many people have gone and listened to that one. It's very different. It's pretty much Lisa as a business owner telling you how to start a professional organization business, but you could definitely extrapolate that out to any other service-based business. What did you think about that podcast? It's different, isn't it?
It's very different. It's very informative, and I'm going to have to go and listen to select episodes again. I remember I started listening to it because I signed up for the Sunday Basket Workshop certification. I'm like, okay, so Lisa sells this certification, and she had this professional organizer think tank, but that's for professional organizers, and I'm not going to be a professional organizer. I'm going to be doing paper, not houses. I'll just see what I can take out of it. And it was the fourth or fifth episode where you talk about niching down. Mm-hmm. And you were saying you might want to do just kitchens. You might just want to do garages. You might just want to do paper. That dinged. Yeah. Because if I say I'm going to be organizing paper, that means I'm a professional organizer. I have found my people.
Yes. I love it.
And so that's what really opened me up to being able to accept. And I mentioned this in one of the Facebook groups that, okay, so yeah, I can label myself a professional organizer. And that opens me up to the resources that are offered by professional organizer groups.
Yeah, let's dive into that for a minute. We haven't touched on this yet on a Wednesday podcast either. So when I was doing laundry organizing live on Instagram at the end of August, and I'll probably be doing it again, two of the laundry rooms I organized was Vanessa and Sandy because they live local to me. And both of them are new professional organizers. So I want to really talk about what is a professional organizer. When you enrolled your child in school and you put your child in that class, sometimes that teacher has 1 year experience. Sometimes that teacher is brand new. Sometimes that teacher has been there 30 years. That teacher, no matter how much experience they have, is a teacher. Mm-hmm. How they run their classroom, how well they can control that classroom, teach the content, communicate with parents, get all the paperwork done for administration, that comes with experience and time. But the ability to become a teacher comes from getting the education that you need and starting to become a teacher. Mm-hmm. For professional organizers, it could be others as well. What I find is most women, when they are ready to be a professional organizer or man, they feel like their house has to be 100% organized and look like a magazine. They need to have taken every course and read every book possible on home organization. They have to be ready to go on live TV at a moment's notice and be able to speak about any area, anywhere, in any house and organize it live on air in order to call themselves a professional organizer. I think that's what people think they need to do in order to be a professional organizer.
And it's
what you have to do is you have to be able to organize something for someone else that you've already organized for yourself. Your entire life does not need to be organized. There are professional organizers that just organize paper, that just organize kitchens, that just organize kids' bedrooms. I mean, whatever you have figured out to organize in your house, you can be a professional and teach somebody else how to organize that space in their house. It does not mean that your house has to be 100% organized, ready to go on a magazine, and then you could organize that space on TV in front of a live studio audience. Why do we set this expectation on ourselves?
We're perfectionists. You're not.
Yes.
You're
most
not.
Professional organizers are, because they have to get to that level of perfection in order to internalize and call themselves a professional organizer. I think we're going to double the amount of professional organizers in the entire United States when people start defining professional organizer like I do. Mm-hmm. One person that can help another person get a space organized. End of discussion. I mean, that.
And I wonder if some of it, I know that with me for sure, when I start thinking about picking up a profession or a hobby or, you know, something that eventually I'll be showcasing for other people, I'm picturing 5 and 10 years down the road when I am a master at this.
Yes.
So obviously I can't showcase it now, no matter how good I may or may not be. Because if I showcase it now, I'm not going to be that 5 and 10 year down the road master. I'm where I'm at right now. I'm not a master right now. I can't showcase this. And if I can't showcase it now, I can't get out there and get practice. And without that practice, I'm not going to be that master. So why should I even bother?
Yes.
And, you know, that's terrifying, Lisa.
So many professional organizers have joined the certification program because they admit they don't know how to organize paper. They can organize your kitchen, your playrooms, and all of that, but they don't know what to do when people bring them their paper.
I can help with that now.
Yes.
Or I will in 4 weeks.
And just like I teach in the 100-day program, I literally teach in videos and courses. And when you come to the live training, I teach you what to do with all of those papers. Yes. So then when someone brings you a paper and they need to get it organized, you now know how to organize it. But paper is something that people... There are no professional paper organizing certification courses other than mine. There is nowhere that you can go to learn how to organize paper. And you know how I learned how to organize it?
You did it yourself.
No, I organized other people's paper. I was a professional organizer. And they said, can you do my filing cabinet? And I said, yes. And so at first, I just eliminated files, consolidated files, and made them color-coded. Mm-hmm. And then what I realized was, my clients could not maintain it, nor could I, or it just did not work. Mm-hmm. And that's through the process of organizing clients' paper over and over and over again, I realized we needed to just forget the filing cabinet and make binders.
Yeah.
That's where that came from. That would have never happened if I had not called myself a professional organizer and started helping real women in real houses organize real paper, not read a book about it, not get a certification program about it, but actually physically seeing the kind of paper there is. Now I can do estates, I can do divorce paperwork, I can do kids' school paperwork, I can organize multiple homes in the same family where they have like five different houses they have. I can organize all that. I have a way of doing that because I did it and I figured it out when I went using the same basic paper organizing principles that all paper falls into.
Yep. Yep.
Now, do you feel, Bridget, that you could go help your neighbor start a Sunday basket?
Yeah.
You're a professional.
Exactly.
If you can do it to the point where you, that's what a teacher is. A teacher has taken something, figured out how to do it, and then they learn how to show someone else how to do the same thing. Maybe we should call ourselves professional organization teachers.
Hey, there you go.
We're organizing teachers.
There you go.
But I think that word professional scares people.
Yeah. Because when you hear the word professional, well, professionals have all the answers, right? Right?
Maybe they just know where to find them.
Yes.
Like when you talk to a lawyer, do they say, oh, and here's this brief? They say, no, we'll get back to you. Mm-hmm. They take all of your information. They ask a lot of questions. Professionals always ask a lot of questions, even a doctor. And then they go run tests. Mm-hmm. And then they go consult with other people. And then they come back with the answer or the next step. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Ask a lot of questions. Go find the answers if you don't already have them. And solve the problem for your customer. You're a organization solver.
Yeah. I consult. Yeah. And that's what I love about the organization groups that you have out there. The Sunday Basket Club, the workshop, the Professional Organizer Think Tank, the 100 Days, and your main group, the Organize 365. All of these are great resources for any organization question I could have. And if I can search the groups and find out if somebody else had it, and if nobody else has asked the question, I can ask it. And there's no judgment in any of these groups. It's absolutely wonderful. No question is dumb. No subject is off the table.
Yeah, and you're a great question asker. And I find that I'm a questioner. People who ask good questions, when the question is answered, some people had that question and either they didn't want to ask it or they didn't really realize that was the question they were struggling with and they couldn't articulate the question in order to get the answer.
Yeah.
So if you're the person that asks the questions, there are a lot of people benefiting from the question that you ask. So two of those groups are free. You can go to the Organize 365 Facebook group is free and the Professional Organizers Think Tank group is free. Mm-hmm. It is the oldest and largest group for professional organizers in Facebook.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Fun. I did not know it was the oldest and largest.
Yeah, wow. When we started it back in 2012, there were no free groups for professional organizers. Everything was paid. Mm-hmm. And so I started a group where you could freely join at no cost and ask any question you wanted, and we could all collaborate without any organizations or payment wall.
Yeah, and it's great. I love it there.
All right, so Bridget, what advice would you give someone just starting out? What do you want to leave them with?
You got to go slow and you got to give yourself grace. And when I say go slow, you go your own pace. I mean, like you, Lisa, you're pretty fast paced. You don't need to go slow with almost anything. But I mean, that doesn't mean that we have to.
Right.
You know, if you're going to be organizing a kitchen in a day and it takes me a week, that's fine. You give me grace and I give myself grace. Grace and being patient with yourself are really, really what's most important. When you're walking through these struggles, when you're struggling with clutter or disorganization or depression, or in my case, all three, you can get out of it if you make slow and deliberate progress. You got to give yourself grace and don't be afraid to ask for help. Like you were saying, if one person asks the question, that usually means that 10 others had the same question in some form. And that also means locally, reaching out to a counselor to help get out of my depression was the best decision I could have made. Mm-hmm. And especially since I've been able to open myself up to myself giving myself grace and to you, Lisa, giving me grace, everyone else in my life is also giving me grace.
Yes.
And you have to be open to that grace.
Oh, isn't that so nice?
It is.
Like, don't you feel like you could just breathe, right?
Yeah.
You can more give breath. It and receive it. It's not only that they're giving it to you, you're receiving it.
Yes.
They may have been giving it before, but you couldn't receive it.
Exactly. Because depression, clutter, and disorganization closes you off from breathing, closes you off from the world, closes you off from the ones you love. Mm-hmm. You got to be open to it.
You know, it's getting organized is so much more than a Sunday basket in the 100-day program and organizing your house. It really is that transformational journey from living a reactive life to living a proactive life, and all of the things that are associated with that, associated with how you lived a reactive life and how you decide to go pro in your house and be proactive in your house. And what we are finding is that 10 to 15% of people who complete the program then go on to be certified organizers.
That'd be me.
Yeah. To the point where they want to go and share and help other people. And if you had thought 1 year ago, when you were first listening to all those classes that you signed up for, that 1 year later, I would be calling you a professional organizer.
Nope.
Would you have ever in a million years thought? No, you, yeah.
Maybe 5 years down, but 1 year? No.
Yeah. And you know what? It's almost all the change has been mental.
Yes.
I mean, physical change, but.
Well, 90% of this journey so far has been mental. I'm only a year into it. And you say it takes between 6 and 18 months. I'm only 12 months, 11 months into this journey. Mm-hmm. My house, in-laws coming to visit me for Christmas. And let's just say this is technically my third round through the 100-day, but it will be my first time to hit every area because I have in-laws coming at Christmas time. So
you've been marinating the first round and second round through that 100-day, listening, watching, observing, asking questions. Mm-hmm. You will get so much done in this third round of the 100-day because of all of the mental work that you did round one and two.
Yep.
I think that often people do not give themselves grace if they don't see the physical manifestation of the mental transformation that is happening fast enough.
Exactly. And it's funny you're using that language. I just listened to last Friday's podcast. I finally finished it this morning. I hadn't been able to drive around until this morning. But talking about the mental work, you used the analogy in the podcast of basketball players learning how to throw free throws. I played basketball in 7th and 8th grade. That takes a lot of practice. And you mentioned that the studies were done. Those who only did the physical work, they showed improvement. Meh. The ones who put the mental effort into reviewing and perfecting their technique before they even got on the court showed the best improvement. So even though I'm extrapolating here, this is not what you said in the podcast, but I'm extrapolating because I was on a basketball team in 7th and 8th grade. I wasn't that good, but I mean, you know, I'd be sitting there in class pretending to take notes, and you know, imagine I'm out on the field dribbling the ball, throwing the free throw, doing this, that, and the other thing, and you know, you got to put in that mental work before you can actually get your muscles to work and cooperate, and you. I lost my train of thought.
You have to do the mental work and the physical work. Yeah. But you can't do all mental. Like eventually you do have to do the physical work as well.
Yes.
We're not going to get you off that easy. But I have often said, just listening to the podcast alone, more is happening inside of your home and your brain than you realize. And all of a sudden, it just all starts to click.
Yes. Yep.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. It has been a pleasure having you on the podcast. I think that we've covered a lot of things that we haven't covered in any of the other podcasts, specifically like how just doing the Sunday basket, trying it on your own, and then adding in the actual Sunday basket helps solidify all those things that you're learning. Mm-hmm. And then what does it mean to become a professional organizer? When are you ready to do that? Just like parenting, you're never ready.
You've
got to get started. The best way to become a good professional organizer is to organize people's houses. And until you organize the first one, you're not going to get better.
Yeah. Right? Do it anyway.
Thank you, Bridget, for joining us.
Thank you, Lisa.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.